Hello, I'm Derek Conway, and welcome to Comment on Press TV. Make sure you call me on +44 208 601 4555 or SMS me on +44 78 00 00 8066, or you can email me via comment@presstv.co.uk. For those listening on Colourful Radio, please note that these contact details are for this show only. Egypt's president, Mohamed Morsi, has been overthrown. The Chief Justice has been sworn in as the interim president. Morsi's dismissal came after days of massive anti-government protests across the country. Do you think countries such as the US, Israel, or Saudi Arabia benefit from an unstable Egypt? What is your reaction? Well, like you, I hope you find what is happening in Egypt fascinating, also rather sad, because no one likes to see a country being torn apart. A few years ago, I had the unusual opportunity to meet with the then Egyptian Prime Minister and Foreign Minister, and I also met with a young man called Kemal Mubarak, who clearly thought he was destined to take over from his father as president. But Kemal, of course, had the major disadvantage of not having been in the military. And Egypt, since the overthrow of its king, has been effectively under the control of the military. So for the first time, there was the democratic election, which most people reckon to be fair. It had its problems, like all elections have their problems, but the Muslim Brotherhood won power. And yet a year later, all that's overturned. So what do you think of that? Do you think that what Egypt is going through makes sense? Do you think it will come out at the end of this temporary army control through the Chief Justice into a stronger democracy? Or will the supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood react with violence at having their democracy taken away from them after a wait of 60-odd years? Is this going to be a bloodshed across not only Cairo, but it's been happening in Alexandria and right across Egypt? So the economy goes into a tailspin and civil unrest is widespread, crime is soaring, and to be an ordinary Egyptian who just wants to get in with your life in the biggest Arab country in the planet must be quite frightening. So if you have family in Cairo or anywhere else in Egypt, if you have a view you'd like to express about what's happening, then we'd very much like to hear from you. And those who watch Comment would be very interested to hear what you say. This show is not scripted. I'm not told what I have to say or what I should say. I'm not gagged in any way. So we can have a genuine expression of opinions, for and against. We may not always disagree. I know when George presents the show, George and I have known one another for 30 years, but we don't agree on much politically. And what's wrong with that? That discourse is good. So I want to hear from you if you have a particular view, particularly about what's happening in Egypt at the moment and how you think matters are going to be resolved, whether the army will become even more powerful and eventually just take control without the Chief Justice as a front man, or whether democracy will be restored and what the consequences of that will be for civil unrest. So send us an email or give us a call or send us an SMS with your views on what is happening tonight in Cairo as we speak, this changing situation, which just seems to have no light at the end of a very dark tunnel. Okay, have we got a call standing by? Yeah. Well, meanwhile, Press TV has been taken off air in a new wave of European media bans by Intelsat, a satellite service provider. The reason they gave were sanctions, but the EU foreign policy chief spokesman said that the sanctions do not apply to the media. So what's going on? What is Press TV showing that is making certain countries uncomfortable? I'd like to hear your views. You watch Press TV, you follow Press TV's programmes. What do you think of the output? Now, like you, I don't agree with everything Press TV broadcasts. I live in Britain, I don't agree with everything the BBC broadcasts. But as viewers, we can reach for the button and change channels or turn the television off. We don't have to agree with what is being put out. by any of the broadcasting channels. So why is this satellite company and many other satellite companies taking this dramatic action? Principally, it's at the behest of the United States government. And I just wonder, as someone who's been involved in politics for 40 years of my life, how you can preach about freedom of speech if you don't encourage it. And so whilst you don't have to like what's going on in Iran, you don't have to like what Iran says, what people have to say is of interest, and you listen. And maybe you disagree. Maybe you go somewhere else for a view. It's called freedom of speech. And so I don't think the British government, the American government, should be putting pressure on these satellite companies to close down, essentially, any kind of broadcast that has an Iranian or a Farsi implication, because some people like to listen to programs in their mother tongue. And I think it's a pity if that's not going to be possible in the future. The other thing we hope to cover on the show tonight is what's happening in Israel. As you know, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has rejected Palestine's conditions for peace talks. What did Palestine want? Well, I'm sure as those who follow what's going on in Palestine and between Palestine and Israel understand, the Palestinian Authority, not unreasonably, wants to see the release of the political prisoners. Nearly 5,000, some 4,700 as prisoners, and about 300 on what they call administrative arrest. And they want to see these political prisoners released before peace talks can begin. And that doesn't seem to me to be unreasonable, and yet the Israeli government is not moving on that. So those are the three issues we'd like to hear from you tonight. If there's other things you want to raise, then of course, please do. But let's take a call first from Ali, who's calling from London, who has a view on Egypt. Good evening, Ali.
Evening, how are you?
I'm very well. Welcome to comment. What would you like to say on what's going on in Cairo and across Egypt at the moment?
Yeah, this is about Egypt, right? I've got a question. I mean, only a while ago, they were, you know, having uprisings regarding the removal of Mubarak. Now, President Morsi has removed. What exactly do the Egyptian people want? And who benefits from this in the end of the day? Because, as you can see, Middle East, we've got instability with its next door neighbor, Turkey, in a similar position. And, you know, many other countries who have fell in the past, within the last decade or so. My question is, what is the real motive behind this? Because it seems a bit fishy with, the army coming in and, taking over. Especially as Saudi Arabia just recently announced that it's giving its full support to the army. So I want to know your views on that.
I think the motivation, Ali, is interesting. I'd be interested to hear what your views are specifically on the army, because, as you know, the United States government puts about £1.5 billion a year into the Egyptian military system, which is an awful lot of money. Do you think behind what General Sisi is doing, behind what the army is doing, that there is United States pressure to bring down the Muslim Brotherhood effectively in government and to give this chaos that's happening? Do you think that's what the motivation is?
Yeah, I mean, you can see instability throughout the region, and especially in Syria, it's next to Nisba, close to it, and Turkey, we're close to it. You know, at the end of the day, I think the only puppets that they want to bring in are going to benefit Israel in the end of the day.
Do you think, Ali, that President, or now as he is, ex-President Morsi, was trying to move the country on away from being secular-based too quickly for the population? Do you think he tried to rush the pace too much?
Yeah, slightly. I agree with that to a certain extent. I mean, the people that are uprising, I don't think they're ready. So the fact that they're not ready means that they've been indoctrinated for so long with a certain view of a perception of where they want their country to go to, and it's not really looking that good. And now it's not looking good. It only falls into the hands of people who are taking, or have a, agenda to take over, as you said, the Western governments.
I think, Ali, what we sometimes forget, those of us who now live in Britain or live in the West, is that we're an ageing society. But, of course, Egypt is a very young country, really, I mean, the in population terms. So you've got an awful lot of young men who are unemployed, and I suppose they want to see some economic hope, really, don't they?
I think those unemployed people are just interested in causing riots, as we see on TV burning stuff. Yesterday looked like it was New Year's Eve with a lot of fireworks going on. Unemployment rates are high. There was a report recently that there were like 100 rapes in Cairo or in the square where the demonstrations were being placed. So I think they're actually confused in what they want and who's taking part in those uprisings or riots, as I think, are actually not really interested in the country at all.
So you think we're going to see more bloodshed, Ali?
Sorry?
You think we're going to see a lot more bloodshed now?
Yeah, a lot more. I've just only seen raw footage of Egyptian army shooting a civilian, just protester. He was a Labour Day pro-Morsi protester, but he was just shot dead at Black Point. So I don't think it's any good for the Egyptians.
Okay. Ali, that was really interesting. I'm very glad you called. It was a very steady view you expressed there, and it was very interesting to hear that. Thank you for calling. If anyone would like to comment on what Ali said or what I said earlier, or just comment generally on what's going on, then don't forget the number is +44 208 601 4555. And we'd really like to hear from you. Meanwhile, we've got Farouk on the line, who's based in London, but he would like to comment on what's going on in Egypt and maybe about Press TV as well. So Farouk, thank you for calling. Good to hear from you. What would you like to say?
Okay, good evening, Derek. Well, it's really a sad day for democracy. For someone who's been elected by 52%, probably, the fact is the mindset of the Egyptian people is that been ruled for over 60 years, never known about democracy, find the only way that they could make any changes cannot be the ballot boxes. If they've done it once, so we are probably there again. We got in addition with this, the remnants of the supporters of Mubarak and the people in top echelon, for example, the TV stations are owned by billionaires who make billions, and they're Mubarak. So there's all this kind of concoction that's there, and probably, given that Morsi and the Islamic, the Muslim Brotherhood wanted, probably, they're going to be too quick in trying to set up a Islamic kind of government. Because we've seen that already, that there were so many TV stations, Islamic TV stations, being closed down ever since the army sort of got in. Even SCAF, this army group, because obviously under any democracy, now we should be under the kind of authority of the president. They cannot be outside of that spectrum. Obviously, there again, like you have already mentioned, that obviously the army is getting $1.6 billion from the U.S. Conversely, where you have a split, those who hold the power in terms of being elected and those who are receiving funds.
Farouk, can I just ask you, I think you're making some very clear points. I'm intrigued by your view, and what I'd like to hear from you is whether you think the pressure that's brought people to the streets has been driven by the failure of the government to get the economy going, or whether you think it's been a resistance from the secular part of society that is concerned that it doesn't want to be governed in an Islamist state, but wants to live in a secular state. So do you think it's a religious issue, or do you think it's an economic issue that's really driven this onto the streets?
I think it could have been put down to a referendum, asking the people what they want. But at the same time, there were cases where Morsi was having a lot of problems with the judiciary and the constitutional court. There's all of that involved. I mean, such a mixed bag there that it was very, very difficult for him in the first year. I mean, any more democracy, at its birth, would have taken, I would think, the people who were for anger a minute, let's give it a bit of more time to come together. Okay, if there are grievances, then probably, like Morsi did say at a certain time, I believe, that, for the opposition to come together and see where there could be a common front. Addressing the issues. He accepted, I think, during speech, that he made a lot of mistakes. But that is good. That is beneficial for people. I mean, if someone accepts they made a mistake and is willing to move forward on this, then that is a good situation. Because what we have at the moment is, obviously, they are disgruntled people on the other side, like Muslim Brotherhood, and then you have these people that through non-democratic way have actually established what will be called, you know, a regime, I would say, because it will take this new leader now something more than over a year or two to have a proper election, whether it's presidential or, you know, parliamentary election.
Yeah,
so
I think
there's going to be a lockdown. Well, let's say the already economic problems that exist in Egypt will be non-stable. They're going to get investors from abroad to come.
Maybe Farouk, the trouble is people think democracy is going to solve the problems, and the expectations are very high. And as you've rightly said, it's the timescale is still very, very short. So it's quite hard to judge a government on 12 months' performance. See, I think you also wanted to mention something about Press TV itself, and I don't want to stop you saying that. I've no idea what your view is, but I gather you wanted to say something about that.
Exactly. I mean, on the same principle, if it is people pulling strings from outside, like, you know, the Press TV, like you said in your introduction, if someone doesn't like what's been said, switch it off. You know, there are people who have got a right to hear from different angles about what's going on in the world. That's the freedom of speech as we know it. But you cannot, you know, take some TV station, whoever it is, would it be Press TV, it could be a Press TV and any other sort of TV channel, just take it off the air because you think you don't share their approach or the way they look at things, whether it's political or otherwise. Yeah. You know, I think that is, again, a very sad day with this kind of hypocrisy that we hear. You know, freedom of speech, who actually has the right to have freedom of speech, it seems to me. Right.
Well, I think, Farouk, you've raised a very good point, and I'm very grateful for your call. I think you're a very articulate man, and you've expressed some very interesting views, both on Egypt and on what's happening to Press TV. So thank you very much indeed for your call, and Ali's too. We have to move on now to an email. We've got an email coming in, so let's see what that has to say. It should be coming up on the screen any moment now. And it's from Mohammed, who's emailing from South Africa. And he says, with regret and disappointment, Press TV has been removed from our free-to-air satellite in South Africa. I've always looked forward to your show on a Thursday night, and you are my all-time hero. I think he probably means George, really, but I follow you on Twitter and Facebook, and will have to save up money to watch comment on an iPad. Well, Mohammed, thank you for that email. I'm sure it was written with George in mind, who, of course, is the regular and long-standing host of the show, and I'll make sure George sees your praise when he comes back to the show next time. But meanwhile, I think it's a fair point you make about there you are in South Africa and you want to watch different points of view. And I think that's really what it's all about. You don't have to agree with everything that's put out. Of course, very, very few of us do or would want to watch a TV news program or a show like Comment where everything was exactly the same. So thank you for that email from South Africa, Mohammed. We appreciate what you said about George. And now we've got Doreen, who's phoning us from British Columbia in Canada, who wants to make a point on Egypt. Doreen, hello, I've no idea what time it is in Canada, but thank you for calling Comment. What would you like?
It's 12 noon here.
12 noon. I've never been able to work timings out, yeah. So sorry.
Okay, there's a few things I'd like to comment on. First of all, I agree with George about Edward Snowden. He should get the Nobel Peace Prize, not being hunted down.
Yeah.
And that was one. And another one is I'd like to apologize for many Canadians on our Prime Minister for calling the Syrian Freedom Army thugs when they're just fighting for their country. Yeah. And John Beard making rude remarks on the Iranian election, which his party wasn't truly right with that one. I was shocked last week. I tried to get on Press TV to express my opinion about Egypt's government backing the barbarian militants in Syria. I thought that was really bad for them to do that. And I thought when the new government came in Egypt, that would help in their the opening the gates of Rafia to help the Gaza people. Instead, it just seemed to have got worse.
Doreen, could I ask you, Doreen?
The Egyptian people are seeing this. Now, I don't know too much because I haven't been following it as well. And I got a little bit from your show today that we don't know if it's religion or because of the economic problem there. But I see when people lose everything, they lose it. And God bless those people in Egypt that stood out for days and days and was counted.
Doreen, could I ask you, because being a Canadian, I have always thought of Canada as being a very generous country with its foreign aid program. It does a lot of good around the world with the generosity that Canadians give, not only through their tax dollars, but as individuals, one of the highest donors per capita in the world. So Canadians are thought of as being very generous people to countries that are going through difficulties. What do you think that's happening in Egypt now will change as far as Canada is concerned? Will the relationship between Ottawa and Cairo continue as it is, or will the Canadians pull back a bit until everything settles down? What do you think the Canadian aspect of this will be?
Well, you're right about Canadians used to be one of the world's best peacekeepers. You saw a blue beret, you knew a Canadian soldier was under it. But in the last few years since we've had Harper in there, it seems to have changed. It seems to have changed as like making statements of thugs. Now with Israel, with Egypt, I'm not too sure. I know the Canadian people will want to do everything we can to help them and help all the people in the Middle East of what's happening over there.
Yeah.
And another thing about Press TV being taken off, I'm really disappointed on that because I enjoy programs like yours. I also enjoy the wonderful documentaries they have and the sports. And if I want to, I watch the Canadian news, and then I can switch to the Press TV to find out, and then I can judge for myself on the big picture.
Well, Doreen,
and
long may
taken
your
taken away from me.
Yeah, well, long may your freedom continue. And it's been really good to hear from you, and one of the most beautiful countries in the world, in deepest Canada. Thank you very much for calling comment. We've got to move on, Doreen, because we've got other callers. But thank you for that contribution. Don't forget, if you want to make a contribution in the show, it's +44 208 601 4555. And we've got Osmer on the line now, who I think is a barrister, so it'll be interesting to see what his take is on the legality of what's going on in Egypt at the moment. Osmer, thanks for calling comment. What would you like to tell us?
Well, I mean, it was inevitable, really.
Yeah?
The Muslim Brotherhood brought this onto themselves. The chickens have come home to roost. I remember sitting during the presidential election campaign in Cairo, and I had loads of anti-Muslim Brotherhood people.
Yeah.
And I was so worried about them and Morsi taking over the reins of power, especially the Christians.
But the opposition was a bit disorganized, wasn't it, in truth? They couldn't really get a solid candidate.
Do you want the truth?
Yeah.
Well, I reckon it has happened, and I'll always be adamant about this. The presidential election was rigged in the first round. Any other candidate, whether it was Abdel Fattah or Hamdin Sabahi, would have walked that election against either Ahmed Shafiq or Morsi.
Yeah.
It was rigged in the first round to get rid of the two major threats to U.S. national interest.
Yeah.
There was a deal struck between the Muslim Brotherhood and the Americans. It became as clear as daylight by the time they came to rule. Morsi, I feel sorry for the guy, because if you look at him, he wasn't all that bad. But he could never control the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
They became arrogant. They got elected. And if you look at the first round results, it's clear even with the Salafi vote, that constituency, the ultra-puritanical, conservative, takfiri type of Muslim attitude, does not enjoy more than 15% of the Egyptian street.
Awesome,
they ruled as if...
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you because I think what you're saying is highly articulate and very, very interesting. But we're heading up to a break. I don't know whether we might be able to continue our discussion in the next half of the program, but sadly we have to just stop there. But I do appreciate the fact that you're expressing a very strong view, and I think a very well-informed view. So thank you for that, Osmer, and maybe we might be able to hear from you later in the program. But that's it for the first half of the show. Join me after the news. Welcome back to Comment. I hope, like me, you found the first half of the show very interesting. We had some callers from Canada, emails from South Africa. We had a very interesting contribution from a barrister in London. And so I think the discussion tonight, obviously, it's focused mainly on what's happening in Egypt, because that is so dramatic. People have also raised what is happening to Press TV and access to satellite platforms as the American government puts pressure on companies to cancel broadcasting abilities, which makes it harder for you, the viewer, to decide what you want to watch, which for a country that advocates free speech seems a little strange. And also what's happening in between Israel and the Palestinian Authority as they debate how to get peace talks going, with the Palestinians not unreasonably saying they want the nearly 5,000 political prisoners released and the building of the 120 settlements stopped before peace talks can get underway with any meaning. So if you have a view on any of those subjects, or anything else for that matter, then I'd be delighted to hear from you. Don't forget the numbers +44 208 601 4555. And we have a caller waiting now to join Comment tonight who's Leva from Manchester here in the United Kingdom. Normally a very wet part of the United Kingdom, but let's see how he's coming on this evening. Leva, thank you for joining Comment. What would you like to say?
It's always a privilege. I want to comment on the Press TV situation.
Yeah.
I've come to the conclusion that the corporate media is their most powerful blunt weapon is the media to control the masses. They use it as a weapon. In actual fact, what I think is, they tell us not what to think, but what to think about. Now, Press TV, because their alternative view, you could say basically the truth. Now, Press TV isn't perfect. Iran are not perfect. But I believe that they try to give the truth. When they do slant, it is only a small amount. Nothing like Sky, BBC One.
Yeah.
Now, so they see Press TV as a clear and present threat. This is the obvious reason why Ofcom, through the power of America and the Queen, had Press TV taken off the Sky platform, which I used to watch. So now I've had to move to the internet. Now, the internet for me, I believe, is a revolution. And through this medium, I think the world could be a better place.
Yeah.
But what I'm afraid of is, now I don't even know this, but the British government at the moment are working on legislation on new powers to control the internet in this country. Now, what they're saying is, it's actually about, which is a good thing, it's about stopping paedophilia content and things like, anyway, all the awful things that potentially you can see on the internet. But as we all know,
do you think it'll spread though, Leva? Do you think it'll spread to other things? That's the danger, isn't it?
No, I think that is what's going to happen. And then they will use that excuse to stop us watching Press TV on the net. I think that's the next thing coming.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think the points you make are right in some respects. I mean, I don't agree that, I mean, you mentioned the Queen as the head of state in Britain, but I mean, she takes no part in government, so I don't agree with that bit. But I think you're right in saying that Press TV and other broadcasters of a similar vein offer a different view on what's going on in the world, not the BBC World Service or Sky TV or the mainstream channels, as you put it, but a different view. And I think people can decide for themselves whether they want to see that different view. I get a lot of people bump into me in the street and say, oh, we watch Press TV and we watch some of the documentaries. They're not Muslims, they're not pro-Iranians, but they just like a different view to the view that they're getting from mainstream British and European television stations.
I just need to correct something. Now, WikiLeaks, and we spoke about this about when Press TV got taken off the air from the Sky. WikiLeaks and The Guardian have actually produced letters from the Royal Family, from the Queen, Press, etc., to Ofcom, to the government, to take down Press TV.
Yeah. I simply don't believe that, but I know it's known that Prince Charles used to write to ministers, but I simply don't believe the Queen. I just don't believe she'd do that. But you're entitled to your view, and that's the good thing. That's the whole point of what we're talking about tonight. Programs like Comment, stations like Press TV, we can disagree about something. I don't share your view. You might be right, I might be wrong, I might be right. But at least it's an exchange that we can have, and that's the important thing. It's not just listening to what the BBC puts out all the time.
Now, I think short term, I think it's going to get bad to do with the information that's given to the world public. But I think the internet will prevail, and long-term, it will be for the massive benefits of humanity.
I think, Lever, you're very right about that. I think now that the internet's out there, it's absolutely important that it stays available to anybody for anything. Yes, let's see. I mean, I'm with you 100%, closed down all the stuff on paedophilia, never really understood what people get into with that, but let's stop all that, certainly. But the expression of view and the variety is very important. So thank you very much indeed for calling, for your contribution tonight. So thank you to Lever from Manchester for that. Don't forget, if you want to comment on what he said or what I've said, then it's +44 208 601 4555. Now we've got Faraj, who wants to make a contribution to the show. Good evening, Faraj. Hello? Can you hear me? We've just lost him. We've just lost Faraj. So, Faraj, if you could call back or we'll try and get back to you. Sorry, there's something gone wrong on the technical side, but I can't hear you. So, meanwhile, we're going to take an email, and this is hopefully going to come up on the screen just about now behind me. And we can see where this is from. And it's from Bilal, who's emailing from London. And he says, hello, my question to Mr. Conway is whether he thinks that the British and European governments and commissions really believe in freedom of expression, or whether there are now just too much censorship of Press TV to take the UK and EU seriously. I'll tell you what, no one really believes the UK or the EU anymore. Well, I tell you what, Barry, I think you've got a point. I mean, people are very suspicious when this sort of thing happens. Press TV, by its own admission, is not watched by everyone in the world. This is not a dominating broadcaster. It was providing a different view to people who wanted to watch a different view. And what is wrong with that, really? And the power of the British government through Ofcom to act as it has against the station, and now the pressure of the American Treasury in particular on the satellite providers, means that people like you can't get it on a mainstream satellite platform anymore. But of course, it's not stopped on the internet yet. And I think, as you will have heard from Lever earlier in the programme, I think the concern many people have is that the next stage? Will people want to censor what is going on the internet? So thank you for that email, Bilal, and it was very interesting to hear your views, and I think a lot of us share your cynicism on what's really going on behind the scenes to try and close down an alternative view. Meanwhile, we now go back to the phone lines, because we've got a caller coming in from Adam, who wants to express a view particularly on what's happening in Egypt. So Adam, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Lovely to hear from you.
Yeah. Long time, but the most important thing is we are on it, and you have to be part of it before the problem can or could be solved.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate the so-called purveyors of democracy do not understand or do not want to practice what they preach. Divergent view is the core or the umbilical cord of democracy. Why did we get Press TV off the Sky platform? And why are we trying to make Press TV, which is the mouthpiece for the speechless, not to be heard all over Europe and in a that's in Britain. I think this is wrong, and it's a shame unto those who call themselves the purveyors or the creators of democracy, and they are carrying it around.
Yeah.
Back to our main discussion, or my main reason why I phoned Press TV today.
Yeah.
In Egypt, we all understood that Mr. Mubarak wasn't a good person, and he's ruled Egypt for quite a long time. He's an autocratic person, and Egypt was made his own bona fide property, of which him and his family members and cronies were the rightful owners of Egypt. And for that matter, the Arab Spring, which was motivated by the so-called West, the superpowers, got rid of him, humiliated in prison. Even on his sickbed, he was taken to court to be able to sentence him. Now, an election was held in Egypt barely a year ago, a popular election that was held in the Muslim Brotherhood, which was elected to lead the country, was overtoppled again by the military in the country. Military holding the stick behind the democratically elected government.
As they did, Adam, behind President Mubarak, of course, because his fall was inevitable once the military stepped back. What tends to happen in countries that have a very powerful military structure, as the Egyptians had. But of course, it was all about being pro-American, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, but can we put the military into our democratic dispensation? No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
The military, they are there to protect the territorial integrities of the country. And sometimes when there is a disaster in any country, we call on the military to come and help. They are not good leaders. That's why we understand that in any democratic nation, the military has their role to play as the security forces of the country to protect the territorial integrities of the country and help when there is a disaster, but not in government. If anybody in the military wants to be in government, then he should take off his military uniform, come and join
any competition in election.
So that he or she could be elected into any political administration.
This brings to mind that
the democracy that we're talking about is a culture. And a culture is also ethnocentric. So what is happening in America and in Britain cannot be happening in Egypt. Therefore, people should form their countries, sovereign nations, to find a way of governing themselves rather than checking out to the so-called the international or the West to make decisions for their own people, which, of course, doesn't work.
Adam, I think that's a very positive point, because we do have other callers, so I do sadly have to move on, because I am fascinated by what you say, and I think you make the point that it's not one size fits all in democracy. Different countries have different ways of governing themselves, and it's for them to come to that agreement, not for the Western powers or the superpowers to say, do it our way. And I think that's a very fair point that you make about each country defining its own method of survival. So, Adam, thank you very much indeed for your call. That was a very interesting contribution. Sadly, have to move on to another caller now. We've got Fanzeh, who's calling from Deepas, Derbyshire, who has a view on Egypt that he'd like to share with us tonight. So, Fanzeh, welcome to the show. What would you like to say?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to say about what's happening in Egypt is really sad. I was one of the people really celebrating with them when they took out Mubarak and when Morsi took out the army, and now it's like everything has gone back.
Do you have family in Egypt?
No, I don't have family
okay.
in Egypt.
But you follow what's going on there?
Yeah. No, I just, yeah, because they lived as a tyrant for a very long time, so I kind of celebrated with them, you know, they stood up, and now it seems like it's going reverse. And the thing that makes me wonder is the army, they were there when Mubarak was there, and they never did anything for all those years, you know. So I don't know why they say the army is on the side of the people. It's not, because if the army was on the side of the people, they could have thrown Mubarak long time ago and make the country democratic. So I don't know what's going on there, but Morsi was elected, and they have to understand what democracy is, and they should have given him a chance.
So you think they were a bit impatient, really? I mean, I've not come across a politician who can solve his country's problems in a year. Certainly not had one in Britain, that's for sure.
I was just thinking, Obama has been there over, what, now 5 years?
Yeah.
And the economy is still going bad, and nobody's on the street demonstrating. And here in England, you know, the party's in charge, you know.
But I think, as you probably know, Fawzia, I mean, the Egyptian economy has been heavily reliant on the tourism industry, and that's going to take a complete hammering, of course. So the economic situation, sadly, going to get even worse to try and turn around what is still a very young economy. So I think the people of Egypt, whether they have a religious view, a secular view, or capitalist or socialist, really whatever, it's a real big mountain they've got to climb, and they're not going upwards at the moment, are they?
And they should have helped him, because I feel Morsi was really set up. He didn't have parliament.
Yeah.
And he was elected, and there was no constitution.
Sure.
You know, it's like this man was put there to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, it's unfurling on a daily basis, because Egypt is such a large country, such a significant country. It obviously has a major impact, not in that region, but clearly around the globe. So, Fawzia, thank you for joining us from Derby and from your views. I think you're taking a very mature view of what's going on in Egypt at the moment. Thank you for sharing that with us. We have to move on, I'm afraid, because we've got an email I'd like to share with you now. So we'll call that up and see what that has to say on the screen behind me. And here it comes, and it's from Iman from Egypt. Morsi going as a direct result of him not reviewing all the suck-up contracts with Israel. Enough is enough. We do not want our leader even recognizing Israel, let alone doing business with them for energy, security, arms, tunnel maintenance. Israel is a rogue, invasive community, not a country. Well, Iman, that's putting it pretty straight. And I think you express an interesting view. I mean, many of us suspect the hand of the United States government behind what's happening with the Egyptian army, because the two are so closely linked. What pressure was coming from Israel to make the Americans act in this way? It'll be interesting to see. There's all the fog that's going around what the actual people are doing on the streets of Cairo and across the country, for that matter, in Alexandria. So thank you for that view. And we're now going to take a call from Amal from Wolverhampton, who would like to talk about what's going on in Egypt as well. Amal, thank you for joining Comment. What would you like to say?
Good evening. I'd like to comment about Egypt. I think every nation, when they seek a leader, there will be a solution for them. I think the Egyptian revolution was a failure, because there was no commitment, there was no leadership, there was no leadership from the nation.
Do you think the expectation was too high?
They had a dictatorship from long time ago. They had the time and the plenty of time to think about it. What will we want as the Egyptian? They didn't. They had a plenty of time. I'm talking to the Egyptian, Arab to Arab. Why our revolution as a Egypt, 85 million didn't go the revolution like Iran? Because there is no justice. When a man give his heart to God, doesn't matter what religion you come, which color you have, and you will say, I will serve you as my nation, then the people will love you. You will be one of them. But as long you come with attitude, I thought, give it the Muslim Brotherhood chance. We didn't know what they are. I'm not saying either I support them or not, but I support them, Hamas, and I see what come out.
Amal, do you think that the supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood will now resort to violence, or do you think they'll watch what the military is doing and wait?
I hope it. There will be not another Arab street who are taking the dignity from themselves and from them people and from them government and from the man what regime them. I hope they will leave little bit of dignity, the people of Egypt, and they will come, remain calm. I am calling them, remain calm. Learn from your neighbor. Learn what happened in Palestine. Learn. Don't give our guilty to Israel. When you say they are a country who exists and resists up to date, 34 years old in the planet. They leave.
I think you've expressed a very strong opinion, and I understand the emotion that you feel about what's going on, because there's a strong support for the people of Egypt around the world. It's such a fascinating country, a distinguished country. To see what's going on there is absolutely heartbreaking, as you rightly say. And thank you for calling us tonight and sharing that view with the viewers of Comment. We now have to leave her behind in deepest Wolverhampton and move on to Mark, who's calling us from Oxford, who also wants to express a view about Egypt. Mark, good evening.
Good evening, Derek. How are you?
I'm very well. What would you like to tell the viewers of Comment?
Well, I'd like to say that, of course, a concern is always going to be now that the Egyptian army, essentially, is funded by the United States of America. And, of course, you know, they, in turn, are owned by Zionism. And I think, you know, that was a major problem for Morsi with regards to, you know, I mean, he turned his back on Assad in Syria. He didn't do a lot to help the Palestinians, and as you mentioned earlier, the Palestinian peace talks. I mean, that's just a hoax. I mean, was it 20 years ago that they signed the Oslo Accord on the White House lawn? What has happened?
Sure.
Nothing, because essentially, you know, it's a hoax. And you know, I mean, you're in politics, or you have been in politics. The Jewish lobby around the world. It's tremendous. And you're a Tory, am I correct? Well, were you a Tory?
I am conservative,
You were?
I mean, a raging capitalist.
Well, you know the Jewish lobby, you know, the Tory party are beholden to them. And essentially, Derek, what we've got around the world, really, are people that are self-serving. You know, I mean, just take a look at our politicians.
You're right. Israeli lobbyists amongst the American democratic system and here in London too. It's very powerful. You're not raising hairs. I've seen it personally firsthand. It's very impressive and it's very effective. But it certainly goes on.
And they're frightened to death of the Jewish lobby. And not only that, of course, money talks. And as I said, most of our politicians today that are ruling this country and other countries are self-serving pigs. And that's the true fact. They don't care about people.
And the good point, Mark, in just a year and a half's time, you'll get a chance to kick about and have another lot of self-serving politicians. And I'm very sorry, because we're not far off the end of the show, and I've got to try and move on because we've got a caller from Germany I'd like to get on as well. So, Mark, thank you for that call. John calling us from Germany. Hello, John. What would you like to say?
Yes, hello. I'd like to make a comment about the fact that Press TV was taken off the satellites. Being an American myself, I'm very disappointed at the fact that this was done, and this is, in my view, a breach of freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And my understanding, because you mentioned that it was at the behest of the United States that it was taken off the satellites, but what I read on the Press TV webpage was that there's an Israeli Jew, I don't know his, a French Israeli Jew, I don't know his name. He has a very high position in the satellite field up there, and he's putting pressure
in the Treasury, So I think that's an interesting point you make, John, and that's what people are very suspicious of. And I mean, it's interesting to hear the view of an American citizen, albeit living in Germany at the moment, and expressing a view to a program that's being broadcast from London. And that's that interchange that we like. So, John, thank you very much indeed for your call. I'm sorry we didn't have long to talk to you at the end, but I'm grateful for your call anyway. And that's it for the show. Thank you for all your calls and messages. We've had an interesting evening. I hope you've enjoyed it. Stay tuned to Press TV. Bye for now.
Can I have your telephone number? Okay, so I'm going to call you back to make sure your television volume is down to zero.